Litcast Slovakia, the podcast about Slovak literature in English. Welcome to episode 4 of Litcast Slovakia. I'm Julia Sherwood, a literary translator based in London. And today I'll be talking to Charles Sabatos, Associate Professor of Comparative Literature at Yedipe University in Istanbul, Turkey. Charles has a PhD from the University of Michigan, and he has written widely on Slovak as well as Central European and American literature and culture. And he is also a literary translator. Hi, Charles. Welcome to the podcast.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
So, over the past few months, we have all lived under the shadow of the coronavirus pandemic. And while the rate of infection is slowly climbing down in most of Europe, here in the UK, the situation is still quite grim. So what's the situation like in Turkey right now? And what has it been like living under lockdown in Istanbul? And how has it affected your teaching?
Well, things in Turkey have been relatively under control, considering the size of the city. We've had weekend lockdowns, but weekdays have mostly been free to go outside, so it hasn't been quite as strict as in places like Italy. And this weekend is actually the last lockdown, so it's going to be June 1st, they're reopening cafes. Teaching online has been a transition. It's sort of been mixed, but we did manage to finish the semester and we're having our final exams online next week. So we're going along with that.
Well, that sounds quite good. So you seem to have adjusted quite well. But let's move on from the pandemic now to Slovak literature. You've been working on it for more than 25 years. So where does your interest stem from? Is it maybe something to do with your family background?
Well, that's right. I'm from Western Pennsylvania, near Pittsburgh, and that region really has one of the largest, probably the largest Slovak community in the United States. There's a lot of groups who immigrated from Central and Eastern Europe, and they're all sort of around Pittsburgh and other areas that were industrial. So my great-grandparents immigrated around 1900 from Eastern Slovakia. And typically, of course, people forgot their languages as pretty much as quickly as possible to assimilate. And so after one or two generations, there's really very little of the language that is preserved. So, for example, my grandparents spoke the language when they were young. I don't know how much they spoke it later on. My dad actually learned a few words sort of passively, and I didn't know any Slovak at all. But I studied English and French. In high school, I was really interested in French, and then I went to France for a semester and decided to do sort of a minor in French. And it included some sort of international relations courses. And part of that was about the European community at the time, before the European Union, and the East European countries that had really just, it was just a few years after the revolutions of 89. So I was just curious actually to find out, even as a general sense, where these ancestors had come from. And just by chance, I studied at Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh, which is a private university, but we had the right to take courses at the University of Pittsburgh, which is the state university, which was very nearby. And Pitt had a program in Slovak. So just as of, you know, out of curiosity, I decided to take this course.
So curiosity. Interesting. So you were lucky enough to study at the University at Pittsburgh under the late Martin Votruba, who has sadly left us last year. Martin played a major role in establishing the Slovak Studies program at Pittsburgh University. And as far as I know, it's still the only one of this kind in the US. So why has that program been started at Pitt? And what kind of teacher was Martin? And what is the future of Slovak studies now that he has left us?
Slovak Studies is a program in the Slavic department, logically enough, but it is supported by the Slovak community in Pittsburgh because it is a relatively large community. And as I mentioned, the language is a big part of this. I'm not sure how many courses or what type of program there was before Martin arrived. Martin came, as far as I know, he actually left Slovakia in the 1980s. And he went to Germany for some time, came to the US, I think, in the late 80s, and I came to Pittsburgh specifically for this program, and it was founded in the early 1990s. So not much earlier than I actually was taking Slovak. The program has a focus on language. There are three levels of language, elementary and intermediate and even advanced. I don't know if they offer advanced every year, but they are mostly taught in the evenings because it's not meant only for students of the university, but also for adults who might want to connect with their heritage. Really, it's this sort of heritage program. In terms of the subject courses, there were elective courses in Central European cinema, history, and American immigration. These are topics that Martin taught on numerous occasions. I don't think there was much interest in studying Slovak literature specifically, and I don't know that Slovak was really offered as a course. I only took one semester of Slovak because it was my final year at the university, and then I wasn't really planning to do much with it. But I ended up, when I graduated, going to the Czech Republic. It was the time in the mid-90s when that was actually quite a popular thing to go to the former socialist countries and, teach English or that sort of thing. And it was really an interesting place to see and to experience. And then while I was there, I actually found relatives who we had not been in touch with for many years and visited them in Prešov in eastern Slovakia, and even went there with my aunt and my sister came to visit. I also had two teaching stints in Slovakia, Bratislava for a month, and then in Humenné in far eastern Slovakia. So Martin and I were still in touch. And Martin, you had mentioned, asked, what kind of a teacher he was. He was very dedicated to his teaching. He had this very dry sense of humor, and he was very interested in following up on details. So you would ask him a question, and he would go look up, exactly the correct answer. So he was really supportive, and we ended up working on some projects together. A number of translations. I translated a few things for his, even for his courses that he ended up using. So then Martin really was teaching up until in 2018. He passed away, and there is a new instructor of Slovak studies. I don't know her personally, but she's a native speaker and has done a PhD in the US with a lot of background in teaching Czech and Slovak. So it looks like the Slovak language program at Pitt will continue, and hopefully for a long time.
Oh, good. So the tradition goes on. That's really great.
Right.
And you just mentioned that with Martin you started translating. And as Magdalena Malek mentioned in our last podcast, the three of us actually met for the first time in 2010 in Philadelphia at the Conference of the American Literary Translators Association. And by then, you already had a big achievement under your belt, the translation of Pavel Velikovsky's Evergreen Is, which was published in 2002 by Northwestern University Press in its series Writings from an Unbound Europe. So, how did that come about, and what has happened to that series? I don't think it exists anymore.
That's correct, unfortunately. I actually started doing literary translation. I was doing a master's degree. So when I went back to the US from the Czech Republic, I decided to do a master's, and I started to do literature. I ended up doing actually the master's in East European studies. I took a course in literary translation, and I first started with a text that had been recommended by a friend of mine in Slovakia. He had sent me a copy of Dominik Tatarka's book Navrávačky, which I translated as Tapings, and it's actually a transcript of an interview that he had done. He was a dissident writer, former communist who was banned in the 1970s and 80s. So it was sort of his memories, autobiographical childhood memories, and then his experiences, you know, as a dissident. And then there was an interesting coincidence. Michael Heim, who was a very well-known translator of Czech literature, he also translated Russian and Serbian and even Hungarian, but he was best known for his translation of The Unbearable Lightness of Being by Milan Kundera, which is really probably the best-known Czech novel in English. He visited the University of Washington in Seattle, which is where I was doing my master's, and he happened to be on the editorial board of Northwestern Series, the Writings from an Unbound Europe. So I just went up to him at the end of his talk and asked him, you know, his advice on getting a translation published, and I mentioned Tatarka. And he emailed me and he said something like, well, you know, this was like the late 90s. He said, you know, this is probably not the best time for dissident writing. That's no longer as you know, exciting as it was maybe in the 80s. So I decided to try something else. And I took a look actually at the best source that I could find on contemporary Slovak literature at the time, which was Robert Pinsent's Encyclopedia of East European Literature. And he had just a short entry on Velikovsky, but he described this novel evergreen. And actually, the quote that I ended up using in the introduction to my translation was, it's a side-splitting satire on totalitarianism, spy mania, Slovaks, and nationalism. And it sounded like a really fun book to work on. And that was the first and only Slovak volume from that series. And it ended up they finished the series several years later because there was sort of less interest in Central and Eastern Europe, and the editor left. And so that series did end. But luckily, I was able to publish that. It was sort of an ideal venue for it.
Yes, that really was very lucky, and it's sad that the series doesn't exist anymore. Now, that quote from Robert Pinsent is a really great introduction to Evergreen is, but maybe you could say a little bit more about what makes this book so extraordinary, and also what posed the greatest challenges in translating it.
Velikovsky actually wrote it for fun. In the 1970s and 80s, he was working as a, in publishing, but he wasn't publishing much of his own work because it wasn't directly, you know, dissident writing or something, but it was just a little too challenging for censorship at the time. So he wrote this book basically, as far as I know, in meetings at the publishing house just to keep himself entertained. It's a first-person narrative told by a spy who's going senile, and he talks about one adventure after another in his career, and he keeps on changing the subject, and he sort of forgets what he's talking about, and the stories never really end. So it's considered one of the first examples of postmodernism in Slovak literature, and it was published in 1989, actually a few months before the Velvet Revolution, in Czechoslovakia. So as a sign that things really were opening up enough, it's something that wasn't quite a standard, you know, acceptable text. And for me, the challenge was really capturing this linguistic playfulness, which is the basis of his humor, which made the book entertaining to read, but in some cases was difficult to render in English.
I was lucky enough to translate another book by Pavel Velikovsky 15 years later, Fleeting Snow, and that posed some similar challenges. But then working with him was really wonderful. He was such a lovely man, and his passing is a really great, great loss for Slovak literature. And sadly, when he died in February, the UK media weren't interested at all in publishing his obituary. But it's great to know that one of his very early short stories, Citová výchova v marci, or Sentimental Education in March, will appear in the journal Asymptote later this month around his birthday in your translation. So, what's the story behind this story?
Well, we had actually worked together on the translation of Evergreen. I went to Bratislava and I met with Pavel Velikovsky when I had first started the translation, and he was very helpful. As you know, he's very modest, very patient. He actually, I had some friends who had an old copy, a first edition of Večné zelení, Evergreen is, and he autographed it for me. And he said something like, "With the wish for the greatest freedom possible in translating this text." And the tricky part was that we were in touch by post, by letters, because he didn't use email. So then over the years, we were in touch occasionally when I would visit Bratislava. The last time I saw him was in 2016. There was an international conference on his work. He didn't attend this, but after the conference, we met up. And then 2 years later, presentation in New York City on 100 years of Czech and Slovak literature. And I translated an excerpt of one of his early stories, The Sentimental Education in March, to read at this event. And I always meant to send it to him, and I didn't get around to it. Unfortunately, he passed away in February, and I actually happened to be in Bratislava that week for unrelated reasons, and I attended his funeral. And I saw his daughter, who I had met once or twice in the past, and we realized, you and I realized actually, that this June would have been his 79th birthday, so it would be nice to publish something, in sort of to mark this event, and so because I had this translation more or less ready, we've decided to publish this at the end of June.
So, our listeners have something to look forward to. If they haven't had the chance to read anything else by Pavel Velikovsky, this will be available online. We're slowly running out of time, and there's still so many things I wanted to discuss with you. But
Yes.
can you just very briefly tell us about your other major project, Gejza Varmus's Atomy Boha?
Yes, this is a novel that I've been translating, which is a writer from the 1920s, and it's the story of a young doctor who gets disillusioned with the medical profession, and he's and also an unhappy love affair. It's an interesting work, for various reasons. Vamos is an interesting character, but I've been working on it for a number of years, and as we've discussed, it's difficult to find publishers for Slovak literature, particularly for writers who are unknown. Of course, if they're unknown, then it's a bit of a vicious circle. They can't get published. But I think Vamos, he has some ties. His background is Hungarian. He studied in Prague, so he's really the Central European figure, which I hope, once I finish the translation, we will be able to find a publisher.
I really, really very much hope so. And we don't really have time to talk about all your other projects. You're working on so many other exciting things, but I'm afraid we've come to an end. So thank you, Charles, very much for your time. It's been great talking to you. Good luck. I'll keep my fingers crossed for you to find a publisher for the Vamos. And take care and stay
Thank
healthy.
you for organizing the series. It's been a nice thing to listen to.
Wonderful. Thank you, Charles. Bye, and goodbye to our listeners.